विद्युत्तस्तं परिक्रम्यान् जयो मधुवनं पुण्यं हरे शरणचर्चितम् इत्युक्तस्तं परिक्रम्य प्रणम्य चरणपादुका जयो मधुवनं पुण्यं हरे शरणचर्चितम्
Iti,
das,
kamta,
being spoken,
sam,
in,
parikramya, circumambulating,
pranamya,
offering obeisances,
cha,
also,
nirpavaka,
boy of the king,
kayao,
went to,
manuvanam,
forest in Vrindavan.
Punyam,
auspicious
Hare
of the Lord.
Charana Charchitam.
Imprinted with the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Translation: when Dhruva Maharaja, son of the king, was thus advised by the great sage Narada, he circumambulated Narayana, the spiritual master, and offered him respectful obeisances. Then he started for Madhuvan, which is also imprinted with the lotus footprints of Lord Krishna, which is therefore especially auspicious. Translation: after Dhruva entered Madhuvan forest to execute devotional service, the great sage Narada thought it wise to go to the king to see how he was faring within the palace. When Narada Muni approached, the king received him properly, offering him due obeisances. After being seated comfortably, Narada began to speak. The great sage Narada inquired, "My dear king, your face appears to be withered up and you look like you have been thinking of something for a very long time. Why is that? Have you been hampered in following your path of religious rights, economic development, sense gratification?" Report: the four stages of advancement of human civilization or religiosity: economic development, sense gratification, and for some, the stage of liberation. Narada Muni did not inquire from the king about his liberation, but only regarding the state management, which is meant for advancement of two principles: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification. Since those who engage in such activities are not interested in liberation, Narada did not inquire from the king about this. Liberation is meant for persons who have lost all interest in religious, ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and sense gratification. The king replied, "O best of the Brahmanas, I am very much addicted to my wife, and I am so fallen that I have abandoned all merciful behavior, even to my son, who is only 5 years old. I have banished him and his mother, even though he is a great soul and a great devotee." Purport: in this verse, there are some specific words which are to be understood very carefully. The king said that since he was very much addicted to his wife, he had lost all his mercy. That is a result of becoming too affectionate towards women. The king had two wives. The first wife was Suniti and the second was Suruchi. He was too attached to the second wife, however, so he could not behave well with Dhruva Maharaj. That was the cause of Dhruva's leaving home to perform austerities. Although as a father, the king was affectionate towards his son, he minimized his affection for Dhruva Maharaj because he was too much addicted to the second wife. Now he was repenting that both Dhruva Maharaj and his mother, Suniti, were practically banished. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, and since his mother was being neglected by the king, she was therefore almost banished also. The king repented having banished his boy, for Dhruva was only 5 years old, and a father should not banish his wife and children or neglect their maintenance. Repentant over his neglect of both Suniti and her son, he was morose, and his face appeared withered. According to Manu Smriti, one should never desert his wife and children. In a case where the wife and children are disobedient and do not follow the principles of home life, they are sometimes given up. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, this was not applicable because Dhruva was very manly and obedient. Moreover, he was a great devotee. Such a person is never to be neglected, yet the king was obliged to banish him. Now he was very sorry. My dear Brahmana, the face of your son was just like a lotus flower. I'm thinking of his precarious condition. He is unprotected and he might be very hungry. He might have lain down somewhere in the forest and the wolves might have attacked him to eat his body. Alas, just see how I was conquered by my wife. Just imagine my cruelty. Out of love and affection, the boy was trying to get up on my lap, but I did not receive him, nor did I even pat him for a moment. Just imagine how hard-hearted I am. The great sage Narada replied, "My dear king, please do not be aggrieved about your son. He is well protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he has no actual information of his influence, his reputation is already spread all over the world." Remember, sometimes when we hear that great sages and devotees go to the forest and engage themselves in emotional service or meditation, we become surprised. How can we live in the forest and not be taken care of by anyone? But the answer given by the great authority of Narada Muni is that such persons are well protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sharanagati, or surrender, means acceptance or firm belief that wherever the surrendered soul lives, he is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is never alone or unprotected. Dhruva Maharaja's affectionate father thought his young boy, only 5 years old, to be in a very precarious position in the jungle, but Narada Muni assured him, "You do not have sufficient information about the influence of your son. Anyone who engages in devotional service anywhere within the universe is never unprotected." My dear king, your son is very competent. He will perform activities which would be impossible even for great kings and sages. Very soon he will complete his task and come home. You should know that he will also spread your reputation all over the world. Purport here in this verse, Narada Muni has described Dhruva Maharaj as Prabhu. This word is applicable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the spiritual master is addressed as Prabhupada. Prabhu means Supreme Personality of God, and Pada means post. According to Vaishnava philosophy, the spiritual master occupies the post of the Supreme Personality of God, and in other words, he is a bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord. Dhruva Maharaj is also described here as Prabhu because he is an acharya of the Vaishnava school. Now the meaning of Prabhu is master of the senses, just as the word Swami. Another significant word is Sudushkaram, very difficult to perform. What was the task that Dhruva Maharaj undertook? The most difficult task in life is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God, and Dhruva Maharaj would be able to do that. You must remember that Dhruva Maharaj was not fickle. He was determined to execute a service and then come back. Every devotee, therefore, should be determined that in this life he will be able to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God, and by that process go back home back to Godhead. That is the perfection of the highest mission of life. Translation: when Dhruva Maharaj, the son of the king, was thus advised by the great sage Narada, circumambulator Narada, spiritual master Narada, and respectful obeisances, then he started for Madhuvan, which is always imprinted with the lotus footprints of Lord Krishna, which is therefore especially auspicious. Narada gave his instructions to Dhruva, then Dhruva began his worship of the Lord at Madhuvan, near Mathura. And Narada Muni went to the king, and then the king, as we see here, regretted his actions of being too attached to his other wife, for which reason Dhruva had left. But Narada Muni consoles the king and says that actually Dhruva is protected by the Supreme Lord. There's no need to worry. And not only that, that as a result of his activities, that is his worship, he will actually bring fame to the king. So in other words, he will be very successful at his activity. And while he's in the forest, there's no need for worrying about him because he's protected by the Supreme Lord. He consoles the king in this way. So Narada Muni, because he is a great devotee of the Lord, propagating bhakti, and he's also a Shaktavesh avatar, he also understands that Dhruva is, even though he was a small boy and just beginning his devotion, he was actually a great devotee, and that he would be successful. And of course we also see that Narada Muni gave his mercy to Dhruva so that he could be successful. So this is the important point here, that Dhruva made endeavors, first because of his mother, and then second because of Narada Muni. And in spite of the fact that he did have material ambitions to achieve by his actions, by the mercy of Narada Muni, he got complete success. And so the success was not the kingdom, the success was that he attained the Supreme Lord. The Lord appeared before him and was merciful to him, and he understood the real role of life. And of course he also got the kingdom given by the Supreme Lord, though he did not desire it. But he actually attained success. So that success, of course we can say, is partly due to the qualification of Dhruva, that he was a great devotee. But the other part of the success is that Narada Muni showed mercy to him. So we see in the previous verses how Narada Muni gave mercy in the form of specific instructions. So he gave him instructions on how to worship the Supreme Lord, he gave him mantra, he gave him directions on how to worship and how to meditate, etc. And then on Dhruva's part, he was successful because he was able to follow the orders. So mercy is given by the devotee, but a person must follow the instructions. One cannot expect simply to get mercy and do nothing and be saved. So you see that Dhruva actually persevered in his activities, following very carefully what Narada Muni had said, and therefore he was successful. So mercy is very necessary, and endeavor also is necessary. Of the two, of course, the acharyas said ultimately the mercy is there, because without the mercy, even the endeavor itself is useless. But if the mercy is there, even if the endeavor isn't there, sometimes we see there is great success. So we see the success in the case of Kripa City, where the Lord gives extraordinary mercy and someone can advance even without effort, as in the case of Putana or someone like that. So the mercy is always necessary in any case. Nevertheless, we do not exclude the endeavor. Therefore, we'll see after this, there's a whole description of all the different activities that Dhruva did. So these are his endeavor. So normally, this is the case. The mercy of the devotee consists of the instructions. And if one follows the instructions, then one can succeed. And if one doesn't follow the instructions, then how could he succeed at all? So it's necessary to follow the instructions given. So that is what Prabhupada also said. He said, how have I been successful? Because I followed the order. I took the order of my guru as my life and soul. So if we follow the instructions, then we're successful. Of course, there may be many instructions given by the guru, but what is the real instruction? The real instruction is somehow serve the Lord. That is the instruction. So if we do everything but serve the Lord as the instruction, then we've missed the golden point. That's when we do many services, but if it's not related to the Supreme Lord and establishing a relationship with the Lord, then it is also useless. So all the instructions of the spiritual master are connected with serving the Supreme Lord. They are means of approaching the Supreme Lord. And so, therefore the order actually is ultimately to perform bhakti, to perform the different acts of devotional service nicely. And in that way, one can please the Lord, and eventually the Lord reveals himself to the devotee. So that we see here in the case of Dhruva. He followed the instructions very nicely. He didn't simply say, Narada, show mercy and do nothing. He very, very diligently carried out those instructions. And then the Lord finally revealed himself to his devotee. So, of course, we get the mercy of the devotee. That is, in one sense, we can say, no guarantee. The Lord has his own will. But usually the Lord's will follows the devotee's will. So the Lord's mercy is given to the devotee, and the devotee gives the mercy. So it is also the Lord's mercy that the devotee is giving. So, therefore, if the devotee is merciful, then the Lord is merciful. And then the Lord will finally reveal himself to the devotee. That may take time. In Dhruva's case, it did not take too much time. It happened in some months. 6 months or something, then he was able to get his perfection. But in the case of the normal devotee, it may be longer, and it may be lifetimes, several lifetimes, or maybe hundreds of lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes, depending on the particular person, depending on the mercy of the devotees and the Lord. Nevertheless, still, it is fortunate that that person has accepted the Supreme Lord and established some sort of relationship. That relationship keeps on growing birth after birth. So Krishna of course says it's very, very soon you'll be delivered from the material world. And so we may ask, if it takes hundreds and hundreds of births, then how is it so soon? So that of course is our perspective. But when one becomes a devotee, then one realizes that even millions of births in the material world is not a big amount of time compared to the amount of time we've been in the material world, which is anadi. So if it takes some time to get out of the material world, the devotee does not mind that because he treasures that relationship with the Supreme Lord, even if it is not perfect. He understands that it's very rare to get that connection, and therefore he keeps working on it to develop it. However, the Lord may also very quickly deliver the devotee by his mercy. And that depends on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the process for the devotees is somewhat gradual. Sometimes it is quick, but then most times we see it is a gradual process. We see in some cases it may take lifetimes. In the case of Bharat, even after Baba, then he took 3 lifetimes to get his perfection. In some cases we see in the land of Murugari the Hunter, after several months he got Baba very quickly. He advanced very quickly. So, different devotees will advance at different rates. So this we have to accept as the simply the will of the Lord. So, even if it is does appear to be slow advancement, the devotee should never be discouraged. Because he's following the correct process with determination, and he can expect the mercy of the Lord. So it may be a gradual process for him. But nevertheless, he will get success in that endeavor. So we should remember the story of Dhruva because this shows the great determination of the devotee. He did not know that he would get such perfection so quickly, But nevertheless, the Lord revealed himself. And he was surprised when that happened. In fact, the Lord revealed himself before Dhruva got perfection. And the Lord actually purified him afterwards. So the Lord is very, very merciful to him. So we simply have to accept the mercy of the Supreme Lord and endeavor within devotional service to do our best. If a devotee is fallen, well, what the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that even one is has done sudurachara, or very sinful activities, nevertheless, the Lord accepts that person, still my devotee. So it's explained that if one commits sinful activities, then what does one do? So the answer is that worship of the Lord itself is the atonement. In karma, one must do certain prayaschittas to relieve oneself of sin, such as fasting or going on pilgrimage or whatever like that, and do so many different things. So the prayaschitta for the devotee is simply performance of bhakti. In other words, the performance of bhakti clears up all the faults or whatever that occurred within bhakti itself.
Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam ki jāy, Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam ki jāy, Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam ki jāy, Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam ki jāy, Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam ki jāy.